There's a code of silence, and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. Trying to give you a long overview picture down through the ages of this system which leapfrogs around from empire to empire. And it's no accident that the United States was built up very quickly by people who knew the direction of the United States and what it was really built for. Look at all of the logos and emblems and so on that they used. They were all Freemasons, the founding fathers, and that's pretty well common knowledge. And it's written about in their own writings, in fact. What were the Freemasons? Well, they were basically deists, as they call them. A deist is often referred to as someone who believes in a higher power, but does not believe that this god or deity is necessarily concerned with the affairs of man. And from that doctrine came the fact that man himself had the right to direct the planets the way he saw fit. But not just man, the intelligentsia particularly, the ones that Jefferson referred to as the natural aristocracy. Some people in the past, like Bill Cooper, who really loved his country, and perhaps couldn't get over some of this, because he had to go into all of this himself and find out that his beloved country was founded by Freemasons that he thought he was exposing at the time. And he came to the conclusion, sort of halfway acceptance measure, that they'd given the people a chance, this is what he said, to be free and to hold on to that freedom, or you go down in slavery. Those were the two choices. Personally, I don't agree with that, because most people who came into the Americas had no idea about Freemasonry. You can only watch and guard over something if you know what's going on. If you don't have the information, you're not on guard. And when you read the writings of other members of the founding fathers, especially people like Franklin, who in his own writings, his own diary, said that he hoped the foundation of this confederation of states would lead to a federation of the world. And he said, run by 12 wise men. The idea of democracy didn't exist, really, in many of these men's minds. They also chose, interestingly enough, a system to base theirs on, and that was that of ancient Rome. Ancient Rome had a system which was run primarily by a few nobles and thousands of slaves. It was just like Greece. Greece collapsed to an extent at the end because it had more slaves running around in the cities working than people who owned them. And Rome became pretty well the same. That's why the US also adopted the Senate. The Senate is a word that comes from Egypt, ancient Egypt, and it was their name for a game that could be the precursor of the chessboard. And we know that Masons love the tesserated floor of the lodge, which is the chessboard. And so a plan was hatched a long time ago to bring in a world system.
Hey, do you mind if I ask you one other thing? I was listening to you, like, years ago on shortwave radio. Mm-hmm. I think it was Nova Scotia, a Christian lady was interviewing you. Mm-hmm. And she kept interrupting you when you were explaining the significance of the meanings of names, like anyone Ham and Cunningham is a descendant of Ham, Lee and Levi, descendants of Levi. Mm-hmm. But you were going to explain the significance of the meaning of the name Gray. Mm-hmm. She kind of cut you off, and I never heard that. I was intrigued.
The gray is an old term that was used even in the Middle Ages for those that go between the chessboard, between the black and the white, the world of the solid, the one to the world that you don't see. Technically, Kissinger is a gray, and his job, he does see an elite higher above government the ones that you don't see, and it's also visible back down to the government level. So these are the grey men. They call them the grey men, and actually call the people who live in one part of the US the grey men, where a lot of them are based, actually, for the very high levels in CIA. Yeah. Yeah, and one thought system, you're right in one form, and Masonry definitely, where they talk about the head above, the head below is the penis, which is base, it runs on base instinct, the head above runs on intellect. But they also say that your man, the black and white squares too, you can travel through your life on that chessboard there, and you'll hit the dark phases and the up phases, but you should also know what you've contribute by your own decision making to your own the currencies that eventually affect you down through life. You bring on your own problems to an extent.
I don't get any joy out of talking about ghoulish things like this. I want to face reality, though, so my family and my culture and my people and my world will survive. And what I see is an insane move by these people. A culture of death, literally the death head you see on the Nazi helmets and hats of the Third Reich. We have the rise, in the words of Jim Mars, which I've used many times, of the Fourth Reich. And this is the same people. We see the ThyssenKrupp, people that were, of course, pardoned after the Second World War, that actually built the munitions for the British, had them shipped over in U-boats and ships directly to the British to shoot and kill Germans and Austrians. This is all part of the dialectic of war, which they've always managed, right back to ancient Nimrod. It says in the old book of Genesis that that Nimrod was a great warrior in the face of, or in forward against, the Lord. What they were really saying is he created the dialectic of war by having, firstly creating the destruction and the false flag, and then creating the solution. So problem, reaction, solution, if you want to call it, in the Bible, was the very first recorded example of a dialectic of control. Your comments, Alan.
That's part of it, but if you also look at some of the old videotapes of the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II,
right,
you see all of the trappings coming all the way from Nimrod around this particular inauguration, because she sits on a raised dais like Nimrod did, a sort of pyramid. She wears the ermine, that's the black and white ermine round the collar, so do all the lords round about her. You have these high priests of the church standing in specific places around that. They're on a Masonic chessboard floor in Westminster Cathedral. And yet the public don't realize this ceremony goes all the way back to Nimrod. Nimrod was also credited amongst Masons as being the first builder of cities, the big cities. And once you create a city cannot feed itself, it can't do anything. You introduce money, everyone's dependent, then you get a standing army that's paid by the money, then they went out and conquered the rural peoples. That's been ongoing ever since. So why is the Queen and all this royalty all over Europe wearing the same emblems as Nimrod from thousands of years ago? Where did that come into England?
Right.
You know.
Very, very, very astute analysis.
In London, and people read so much nonsense put out by the Knights Templars, the present modern-day ones, to cover their tracks, but the Knights Templars were never persecuted in England. They were given a form of amnesty. And they had to, the King had to, because the Templars, all the crown jewels and all the treasury were in the hands of the Templars. They were the bankers at that time. It was the Knights Templars who brought out the first international banking system and use checks or money orders in lieu of gold. So they were the international bankers from London all the way through Europe. They had banks and all the way into the Middle East. They also owned the trade routes. They also patrolled the trade routes, and they also had all the hostels on the way for all the pilgrims and so on. This is a huge enterprise. They were also the largest landowners in the whole of Europe, because each widow was encouraged to leave in her will all of her the land to the Knights Templars. And so they were taking over vast amounts of territory. They were taking over all raw supplies, etc., something that the New World Order is doing today. But the British government was based on the foundations of the Templars, and that's why you have a Chancellor of the Exchequer, which is still the title of the head Templar who dealt with debt and credit. That's the British Treasury. The man in charge of the Treasury is called the Exchequer. The checkerboard floor being that which they did their debt and credit on. They moved these checks around, just like a chess, basically. They moved their debt and their credit around on an outside board. And you can visit it today. It's still there.
The grey, see the grey part, we are talking about the Templars, the man in charge of the British Treasury, even today, appointed by Parliament, is still called the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Now, the Chequer is the chessboard inside, it's the courtyard inside the Temple Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Walk into it, it's actually a floor, which is a chessboard,
yeah.
And that's where the Templars used to, who were into loans, giving out loans,
yeah.
And getting back interest. They used to put out, that's how they worked out their profit and loss, was on that floorboard. So even today, the guy in charge is still called the Chancellor of the Exchequer from the days of the Knights Templar. Hasn't changed.
There we go. Yeah, interesting.
The grey one is, in masonry, high masonry, the grey man is the man who walks between the two realities, the one the public sees and the one the public doesn't see, between the black and the white squares.
You know,
it's a shade of grey. Grey men are those who are given higher orders, which few on the other sides will ever know.
It's because Alien is a spin on the new spin. They love to bring greys and different types of aliens into the New Age scenario. See, the New Age, in other words, it's a bit of a joke. I think, though, previously, the real troglodytes probably are the ones that came up through previous ages with the knowledge, arrived in Sumer, maybe even created Sumer, and kept histories, and that's how they could recreate an entire system of economy very quickly, with a whole pantheon of gods and bureaucratic priests. So I think, really, a true grey is someone... See, in esoteric language, a grey is someone between the black and the white squares on the chessboard or the tesserated floor, the senate or senact, as the Egyptians called it. So, as metaphorically speaking, a grey is the one in between two worlds or two ages. Technically, a Kissinger type or technocrat today is also a grey in high Masonic parlance.
From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.